Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us. Lots of cool stuff we're going to be talking about today. Don, good to see you.
Yeah,
you?
Good to be seen.
Ava?
I'm here. Always here.
Always here.
Always here.
Always, I'm always present and accounted for.
Let me put it this way. If we're here, she's here.
Yeah.
I love it. We're going to have some conversation about fall fishing. Hey, is it worth the skip hunting and fish? What's your opinion? What's our opinion? We'll go talk about that. We'll talk about the Minnesota deer harvest. What's going on with that? And Wisconsin information regarding CWD that I think will surprise you. That and more when we return.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Good to see you, Ava.
It's good to be seen, like Don Cleaver said.
Yeah, I would agree. No, I'm not going to say the same about Don, but Don, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine.
Nice to see you hanging out.
Yep.
So, as we want to do this time of year, did you do anything last weekend?
Last week, actually.
Yeah?
I hunted the whole week. I've come to the conclusion...
oh, here it is. Here's the windup. And...
I wonder if... I wonder if I'm using the wrong soap or what. You know, I will say that where my stand is the wind was not in my favor most days. And in the day that it was, still nothing. I went an entire week and never laid eyes on a deer till the last day. The only problem was it was about 200 yards out of reach of my rifle.
Oh, that could be a problem.
Yeah, one doe standing out there in the middle of the field, and I just, you know, watched her with the glass, and then pretty soon a little bucky come out, and he got to chasing her a little bit, and they headed back into the woods.
Okay, so this is a good point. You spent the whole week in your stand.
I actually switched locations.
Right, but you spent the whole week in the woods just sitting there waiting for that elusive
moment,
buck or doe, right?
Yes.
Either one to come out within range,
yes,
and shoot.
Yes.
Now, the question follows, do you feel that was a bummer? Are you, like, is it like, man, oh, man, why did I spend a week in just sitting there waiting? Number one. Number two, I should have figured something out differently and shifted my stand because of what happened. And three, oh no, it was 100% worth it. It was absolutely awesome to spend 5 days in the woods doing just hanging out.
I enjoyed being out in the woods.
Right.
And but but all of the above. I mean, you start second guessing yourself, you know. Like, so, I said, I started wondering if I was using the wrong soap.
That's the ultimate ADD. Oh, maybe I need to move my stand over there. I'm in the wrong spot. I'm never going to get anything over here. No, better stay here because they got to come out here because I know I saw him on my trail cam.
First of all, I've got trail cams in more than one location, and they seem to be more prevalent coming out in the cornfield than they were in the bean field that I was in.
So that was still uncut?
No, it wasn't. No, it was harvested.
Okay, so they're coming out in the cut corn.
They're coming out in the cut corn. Now, I just, it was just uncanny because I would come out right at the end of the shooting hours, and I'd get in my truck, and I wouldn't get a mile down the road.
And my
camera's beeping because I got the camera right, you know. I'll show you a picture when we're done here.
Oh, yeah, I've seen.
The guy I was waiting for is standing, and you can see he's standing about 30 yards in front of my blind, enjoying dinner.
So what he's doing
at 2
is
o'clock
sticking
in the afternoon.
His tongue out at your stand going...
Yeah, I don't think it was his tongue. No, He's still there.
And it's a good question. Ava, you were out this last week, right?
Yeah, I got to sit a few times.
How many hours do you usually sit at a time?
About three.
Which is a good, that's a good time. And
yeah,
you're
get out in the stand by two, and then you're there until about 5:30. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can, the weekend thing you can do, but when it's difficult to be out there just sitting there doing nothing, I'm not ADD, but I think I would suddenly take on an ADD scenario where it'd be, I am out. I can't sit here for that long waiting. And then you know that they've been there. The problem is, you know when they're going to pop their head
out.
Well,
you know, you're really paying attention to that last 15, 20 minutes. You're thinking right at the end of the day. But, you know, I mean, with today's technology, you can sit and watch a football game while you're waiting.
Oh, and then that's where it takes on a whole different level because it never – you know, some people don't have access, but it never used to be that you'd have that capability. So right. It's a whole different world. So
yeah.
What was the most prevalent? A, this was, why did I do this? B, did you think I need to be in a different spot? No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Or C, the last one being.
Well, keep in mind, my cameras are on while I'm out there.
I know.
So not being in the other spot, and they're standing in front of my blind over there, I'm going, I might have been better off being in the other spot today.
So you're
and
doing...
I went over to the other spot, and guess where they showed up?
On the other one.
On the other one.
The do-si-do program going on?
Yeah. Maybe
shoulda, coulda, woulda?
Not my... You know, you can't... for the most part, I was out there by myself, so you can't walk the woods.
So did you have a lot of people in the area moving?
No. Okay. That was part of the problem.
Okay. That's usually
in fact, I never saw a walker in any of the fields or woods around where I was hunting.
How about you, Ava? Do you have a lot of people inactive in your area?
Well, the property that I hunt on is next to public land.
So that's good. That's
there
real
is
good.
Some action there, but
yeah,
it's
they get
kind
pushed
of,
around.
Yeah. Kind of a good thing.
I mean, I did hear some shots, you know, a mile away or better in the neighbors, but.
Well, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show after the break, but, you know, early on, we were about 15% down in harvest.
And, In Minnesota.
And so they've done, I'll just say there is a comeback of sorts that was made. And, you know, obviously opening weekend is good. I know a lot of people got really good-sized bucks on opening weekend. But obviously, once that kind of goes out, then the big bucks figure it out. They start to go buried in the swamps, and then you have to hope for people walking or moving because they'll hunker down and just kind of wait it out till dusk.
Right.
And then they rear their ugly head and show up on your trail cam and then make you wish you were out there.
Yeah, well, just today, the buck that I was hoping would move around is standing out there at about 2:07 this afternoon. I mean, he's right in front. I'll show you. You can see my stand right behind him.
Cool. Don.
Oh, well, that's okay. Hopefully, it'll be around next year.
Yeah. Well, there is that.
Well, there's muzzleloader maybe later on. We'll see.
I would have to agree. Well, tell you what. We are going to be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the successor on the state with the deer hunting and more. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Make sure to check us out. Where, Ava?
The Valley Outdoors.
And Don? Where else?
On Facebook.
Perfect. Gotta love it. If you got any big deer pictures, feel free to send them in. If you have any other opinions, questions, or whatever, send those in too. We like to have that. And if there's a question that comes up, we can certainly discern whether we can read it on the air. If we can, we'll absolutely try to find out if we can what the answer to that question might be.
Right.
You know? Why deer don't come out in front of Don's stand?
I don't have the answer yet, so.
Do you store your clothes outside?
Yes.
I do not. Well, I guess we do. Kind of out in the shed, I guess.
That's close enough. Do you wash your clothes before?
No.
At all?
Not my outer gear.
Yeah, not the outer gear. I wear my normal clothes.
Because they do have a scent wash that you can wash those with.
Nose jammer. We use that. Have you ever used nose jammer?
No, I have not.
It's the smell, it's pretty fruity, but apparently the deer don't mind it. So we just douse ourselves in it, our backpacks, the bottom of our boots.
Oh, that's what I wear when I go out and go hang out at the local establishment.
The nose jammer.
I call it Cologne. Yeah.
No, seriously, check it out, because nose jammer. Okay, they should.
Little did I know it was supposed to be a deer attractant. It
smells like urine.
No, but they have body wash and deodorant, too.
I bet they do.
Yeah. You know, I figure you're 10 foot up and...
Don.
What?
That doesn't matter. That.
No, I mean, I actually watched a whole last year.
Yeah.
I was, I had had it. I got my deer ready, and I was out there to be with my son if he got one. And I was down in the ditch, and a whole, I think about five or six does come out, and behind all of them come the buck. And they walked within 75 yards of me, and all of a sudden her nose went up in the air. Her head turned towards me. I mean, she couldn't see me. And she just turned around and bolted.
And so did everybody else.
And she sent the signal. So we're out of here.
We're on a jailbreak.
Oh, yeah, so that's calling getting winded.
That's nowhere around it. If you would have wore the nose jammer, they would have wandered right into your blind.
Okay. I'll try it next year.
Just have to put doubt into what he's wearing.
Nose jammer. It comes in a
It's like toe jam, only different.
It's in a red... thing. You can't miss it.
It smells okay. A lot better, though. All right, so let's... I highlighted it, and we kind of teased it a little bit before the break, talking about the, in this case, a Minnesota deer opener. We will be looking at other parts and pieces across the state, including Wisconsin, in other shows. Wisconsin will touch on as far as CWD goes shortly. But the story goes... Led by hard-charging hunters of central and southeastern Minnesota, who offset the continued deer harvest decrease incurred by their counterparts in northern Minnesota, the preliminary deer kill after the first 9 days of the firearm season was down just 5% from a year ago. A week ago was 13%.
Oh.
So.
They made up some ground.
Made up ground. According to Todd Froberg, the DNR Big Game Coordinator, the firearm deer hunters had killed 106,500 deer in all the series permit areas statewide, which is just 5% down. And it's just 15% down below the five-year mean. Firearm harvest is down 5.7% in the Northwest, 16.9% in the Northeast, 1.4% down in the Southwest, and up 0.4% in central and southeast.
Yeah, they figured it was going to be down up in the northeast.
Yep, exactly. This is the counter to that, Don. Most recent license sale numbers show 3% decline in the overall deer license sales from a year ago. They hadn't quite got to 400,000. There were 396,000 to date sold, as opposed to 410,000 a year ago. The firearm deer harvest is down 23% from a year ago in the 100 series areas, which is northern and northeastern Minnesota. So that's a healthy chunk to take a decline. And they did say the weather had a part in participation, having increased participation. People like, hey, I can go sit in my stand. I'm going to go buy a license and I can go do this. It's just going to be nice to sit in the stand instead of miserable like it can be.
Right.
One of the stories, as of last Monday, all seasons stood at 126,000 harvest. 56% were adult bucks. I wanted to get to this part. This is cool.
Yep.
31% were does, 7% were male juveniles, and 6% were female juveniles. So kind of a telltale as far as what's going on as far as that harvest goes. And so the article came out, it talked about what the COs across the state have seen, and I'm not going to go through that. With the exception, you guys are not going to, this story, this, we could have highlighted this story at the beginning of the show. The, the Crosby area. The conservation officer in Crosby reported, apparently a deer hunter with ill intent badly wanted another person's deer stand. It was attempted theft of a deer stand from public land. The tree stand was locked to a tree, preventing easy removal. So, what do you think the suspect did to try and get the tree stand out of the tree?
Well, I imagine he tried to hook something up to it and pull it loose.
I thought the same thing. What would you think, Ava?
He cut the tree down.
You are truly brilliant. That's why you're a producer.
Are you kidding?
The tree stand was locked, preventing easy removal, so the suspect used a chainsaw to attempt to cut down the tree. The thief was prevented from taking the stand out of the tree and cutting the tree because the chainsaw got pinched and stuck in the tree.
Oh, sorry. He lost his chainsaw.
He lost his chainsaw, and he didn't get the stand. All at the same time. The hunt was ruined for the tree stand owner. County's Sheriff's Office is investigating the theft attempt. I'm sorry, but you can't make that up. Not even in a remote sense.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you about the funny thing that happened to me. You know, I come back from hunting, second to the last day. I get a text at about 3 in the morning.
Ooh.
And I go, well, that's kind of odd.
That's not a good thing usually.
So I look at it, and it says, look in your front yard. Guess what's in my front yard?
Mr. Buck.
5 does. I mean, within literally 20 feet of my bedroom window.
So, Don,
what?
Crack the window and don't bother going to the stand.
Get a bowl.
Your neighbor, Patty?
Yes.
She said I could go out on her back deck.
Yep.
And do hunting right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just a couple yards down.
Nuisance, she said they are.
Yeah, well, they're trimming my hedge.
Mm-hmm. Well, and all of your potted... vegetables you had
so
to put
does that mean if
deck,
I get an
right?
archery tag I can
we call that deer buffet.
You got to call up Patty and see if she'll let you, but yeah.
Oh yeah, it's it would be very possible from my deck.
I can't make up that story though, really. It's you can't fix stupid, and you know what, can you imagine now what do I do? Screw it. We're leaving the saw. All right, we're going to be right back. Speaking of leaving the saw, we're going to leave that one in the wood. We're going to come right back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. You know, Don, I highlighted at the start of the show, we're talking hunting and, you know, obviously deer hunting, and we're talking about fishing. We talked in past shows. So, you know, you talked about being in your stand.
Right.
Doing nothing for 5 days. Do you realize?
7 days. No, it was what? 9 days. There were 3 days that I couldn't get out, so 6 days I was out.
Okay, 6 days in the woods, and you didn't even raise the rifle at anything.
No, I never got to look at...
Okay.
I never got to look through my scope to see anything.
Here's my point. Of those 6 days, do you realize you could have probably spent a day and you could have had something to bring home in the freezer? The fish are absolutely eating each other right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So then the question comes in, would you rather mix it up and do something when the... I mean, obviously, right now the river is on fire. The weather's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, I know it. I mean, I hear you.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for the invite.
What's your point?
That's my point.
You don't have to have an invite.
I haven't
to
got
go.
An invite, huh?
Yeah, you don't have you to do. Have an invite.
Every time he comes, Ava, every time he shows up, he's talking about going out fishing. You got your invite yet?
No.
Yeah, see?
Not once.
Well.
And then he tells us how good the fishing is.
Well, that's the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
So, again, here's my point.
I wish I could tell you.
If you were able to say, okay, you know what? It's too nice out. I'm just going to say, I'm going to go catch some fish in the morning, and then I'm going to go do the evening sit.
Actually could do that all this week. So
that's my point. So is that a feasible thing? Post that to the, you know, our listeners out there. Is that not something? I mean, it would be awesome to do. Wherever you're at, if you're up north doing whatever, you're able to go fish in the morning, go out for the afternoon sit, you get your limit of walleyes or panfish, and then you've got something to show to have a little table fare.
That's too much running. One or the other, you got to pick one.
Running?
Yeah.
Don, the boat basically drops onto the hitch.
Yeah.
You drive it down to the river, you dump it in, and then...
Oh, you had to go get bait and all those kind of good things.
Don, you can do plastics. You can do blade baits. You can do ripping wraps, jigging wraps.
Everything's working?
Everything.
Everything.
Everything's working. And by the way, if going to get bait takes you that long, I think you need to have an examination of where your bait shop is.
Yeah, well.
The point really comes down to...
I saw a guy sitting on the curb this morning with his 5-gallon bucket and his rod in his hand.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did. And he must be waiting for somebody to pick him up.
Or he's doing something else. I don't know. Well, anyway, I just think that, you know, this time of year, the feed bag is on. You can catch some great fish. No matter where you go, it's not just about the deer hunting side. So I think that's going to be the big thing. So should be good. Natural resources, Lake Michigan area. They approved multiple changes to Michigan statewide fishing regs. They recently
talking added inland waters, or are you talking big water?
Statewide. Added several lakes and tributaries to list of waters where daily possession for northern pike is now 5 fish of any size, but only 1 over 24 inches.
That's a pretty small pike.
Yeah. But again, you know what ends up happening to some of these bodies of water.
Yeah.
All it is hammer handles. But a 24-inch fish, that pickles up real nice.
Yeah.
So that's not a problem.
No.
Several changes to the statewide local fishing regulations. They were approved this last month, and the phrase attempting to take, quote unquote, has been removed in reference to fishing for Arctic grayling in Michigan, since grayling currently are being raised in preparation for a limited future stocking program. The change will allow anglers to catch and immediately release Arctic grayling. It allows anglers to, it will not allow you to possess any Arctic grayling. The pike side, statewide, as I said, 24 inches or greater are allowed, where up to 5 northerns, a pike in any size can be taken with only 1 24 inches or greater. So that's kind of cool. And, they've changed some trout regulations too, but it's minimal as far as what they've done. So that's going to, you'd have to look at your regulations available on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Click on Michigan.
Yep.
If you're looking at taking a trip over there, the steelhead fishing over there is just awesome, too. I mean, the river fishing is just incredible. Just nothing less than amazing.
Have you ever heard of Arctic grayling being in the lower 48?
Yeah, they did a stocking program. They're attempted to do the stocking program, so they're definitely there, yeah.
I thought they'd be in really ice-cold water.
Well, they got cold water in
Michigan, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. When that wind blows in one direction, that temperature turns into an ice box in summer on the shorelines.
Okay.
You ever tried to go swimming in, like, prime example, Lake Michigan? I mean, Lake Superior?
Nope. Well, I've been wet.
In summer?
No.
It's great because the surface is nice on the shore, about
4 inches,
worth of it.
Yeah. And then
you go chilling. In. A friend of mine went sailing up there and it said, all right, let's go to shore. We'll clean up. So we go to shore. We take a dive and that was about the fastest I think I've ever gone in and back out of the water. It was kind of like the water just shot me right back out.
Be good for athletes that want to.
I don't think I got wet. That's how fast I was in and out.
Well,
Not good. But that was kind of a neat deal as far as that goes. Couple stories. What do you think, Don? Should we talk a little bit Mille Lacs or just jump on the CWD in Wisconsin real quick?
CWD. We should probably talk about CWD going at this time of year.
So this is more of an opinion piece, but it's true. And what you're going to find is it's kind of interesting as far as how the lawmakers have kind of turned their heads to what's going on with CWD in Wisconsin. We can pretend CWD exists in only 43 counties where it's been documented, thanks to 30% of the hunters who've gotten their deer tested. Meanwhile, we remain fully ignorant of the CWD range because most successful hunters, 91% in 2019, take the deer home and eat it. They never do anything with it to bring it in to be tested. So let's roll forward into the actual numbers since I went through this whole thing and kind of highlighted the key piece. Wisconsin's heading into the 2023 deer season with the nation leading 11,131 cases of CWD. It's the highest rate this century.
Wow.
Iowa County remains in first place with 4,000 cases, Sauk 17, and Dane at 15. It's the scary part about it is they're doing nothing to change it. If you project this whole thing as far as out, you've got roughly 5,100 and some odd deer in certain pieces and parts across Iowa County, 768 square miles. And based on carcass calculations, this is bad deal. More deer died from CWD in Wisconsin than harvested by any form, whether archery, rifle, shotgun, or otherwise.
Really?
And that's what's really needing to have regulations like we have in Minnesota. They need to find out what's going on and get it figured out. The rest of the population will be devastated otherwise. Speaking of devastated, I'm devastated. The show is done. For Ava, Don, myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors, and we are out. Join us next week. Hope you do. See ya.